spiritual entities that don't have a body don't have the same spiritual power as humans, the same potential for change, for transformation. The need for change, the work is being done here in the physical plane. This is where, this is why you've come this far, all this way. So take advantage of being in density and do the transformation here. And so if you just go out into the astral plane or the low astral, and you do a lot of travel in that plane, and then when you die, you kind of say, well, that's a comfortable place, I'll go there. You lost some of your potential to shoot beyond that. And there are many other planes past that. Many. The journey is long. So the idea is not to get stuck in the side alleys. Not to get obsessed with kind of lesser powers. And that's why the focus remains in the core channel. Ultimately, you want to take all these energies and move the core. The core is moving vertically. Okay? So you'll move on vertical astral travel, means you'll be passing through the dream plane in order to get into the high astral, beyond the forms, beyond the attachments to voyeurism and remote viewing, basically addiction to TV on the astral plane. There's a lot of shows, 6 billion humans alone, and then there's all the plant and mineral kingdoms, and you can have astral interactions with them. So you could entertain yourself just about indefinitely with astral TV. You can surf through all of that, more than 500 channels. Okay? 5 billion channels. But where does it get you in the long run? You're going to have find out who owns the leases on that low astral TV stations. Okay? And that's not who you want to be working for as your next employer. You want to be the employer yourself. You're looking for spiritual independence. And so the vertical astral travel is achieved by opening to the unknown, because it's something you're not familiar with. This is the reason for this command, this dream command. I open myself to the unknown. I open myself to receive everything. And you're in the core channel. And now you're actually open to experiencing a higher frequency of the core channel. It's not just vibrating with the physical or with the low astral, but with something else. Another aspect of yourself that you might not even recognize as yourself. And you'd have to shift to just a vibrational level, or an inner sound level, or an inner sight level. Anybody have any questions about this? Okay. It's important to remember your physical body, your energy body, and your spirit body are all in the same space. They're all right here. They're not, the spirit body is not up there. This is a metaphor for heaven, okay? It's a physical separation out of what's light and stars and what's dense down here. But when you shift dimensions out of the physical, you don't go out of your body necessarily. You can be going into your body. It's just a different dimension. But your energy body is there. It's not as dense. Like all the space you have inside your body, there's just a few molecules really and lots of space. It's not somewhere else. So it's good, I think, to get out of that illusion that you're actually going somewhere else. It's all in the same space. It's just a different dimension. So the dream dimension is right here inside you. It's happening right now, even while you're in the physical. The spiritual level is there right now. Your spirit body is there, okay? But you are shifted. Your assemblage point is focused here in the physical. And so your sensory senses are operating, and it looks dense and it feels dense.
So when this physical die, when I die, be like I'm dense?
Well, let's talk about what type of death. When you die at night, the senses die, right? Mm-hmm. They're not functioning. Mm-hmm. But there is still a body. It didn't decompose. So there's still some energy there holding it together. But you're not there, you don't see it. You shifted to another dimension of yourself. Okay? When you physically die, the big death, as opposed to these little deaths every night, the little practice runs, okay? Then the fragments really separate out. Either they separate and go in different directions, and the physical fragments go into the earth, and the spirit fragments go back into the spirit plane, spirit body, or they all stay together and they shift together. When they all stay together, we call that ascension. We call it some form of enlightenment, or the Taoists call it immortality. When you can get all these fragments to agree to stay together and move together through the planes. And they're actually just moving in to another plane. They're not literally going anywhere else. They've shifted to a new assemblage point. Okay? So you're just trying to use this dream practice to get comfortable with that shift and getting all of you to assemble in other dimensions. Then when you actually physically die, you'll be comfortable with it. You'll be going, oh yeah, I've been doing this every night, you know, for like decades, and I've been used to traveling here, and now I'm just actually giving up my assemblage point, my jumping off point on planet Earth. And I'm going to be now moving my Earth to somewhere else, and my body, sense of focal point, somewhere else. Okay? Other questions? John.
Instead of saying open to receive anything, why don't you just make a more specific command and say during my dream state I want to operate on the highest plane?
Who's the I and what's the highest plane?
Well, my terminology, I can't remember the Taoist terminology, but in Vedic science, Purusha is the level where you want to operate. And in other words, open my soul to operate in Purusha during the dream state.
The reason why I left it very open was intentional, in that what happens is that you have ideas here about what Purusha is or any other state. And then what gets interpreted here is, what gets communicated is, I want to go to what my idea of that state is. And your idea here is filtered by a lot of factors. I want to escape from what I am. I want to be more than what I am. And just all these other things. And you're not really then stepping into the unknown. You're stepping into your projection of what you think is somewhere else. And you don't really know what that state is like.
But you could phrase it in a way that included that. You could say, I don't want my projections to be included into this.
Well, then you're back to what my statement is, which is you're open to anything. There's no projection. If you're really receiving...
Except you're specifying Purusha and not another plane.
Okay, but Purusha is somebody else's idea of what that is. It's their term. It's a term he studied. It's a term that somebody else had for it. And what I'm suggesting is, if you actually just make it the unknown, that is the highest state. From a Taoist point of view, the Wu-Ji is called the supreme unknown. Okay, so I'm putting it into English and just in a way that's saying, you could make that. I open myself to the highest level of the unknown. Okay? Rather than just a little bit something more unknown than what you have. That, I think, would be a good command also.
I open myself to the Wu-Ji.
If you understand that that's what that means, and that has come linguistically to mean that for you. Okay?
What I'm aware of, when you said I open myself, I could do that part. And then you said it was either everything or anything. And that word was scary for me. Yep. And what I'm hearing also is people saying, what else can I put in there but that word? And I'm trying to figure out, you know, when I figure if I'm intentioning and it's scary to me, that I need a way to deal with that. It's scary to say that anything or everything. I need a way to intention and mean. without being afraid that it's going to fall apart.
Well, the question is, how can you capture the power, the awareness trapped in the fear? Okay? Because that's actually what the unknown is here. That's where the power is. It's in the part it doesn't know what that is, and then you're calling it and you're labeling it fear. And by simply saying, I will accept all those fears as well, you actually have embraced and actually conquered. You've eaten that fear in a sense. And yes, it does bring up fear, but that's a very useful byproduct of having issued the command, is now you see the fear. Now you see, oh, there's something I haven't embraced because it seems outside of myself and therefore I'm afraid of it. And if you could actually see that that was a part of yourself that you were just not in communication with, then the fear wouldn't be there. Then it would just be a question of how do I embrace it? What's the process by which I come into balance or harmony with this thing? Which I've previously put a boundary between myself and it and said, I'm afraid of you because you're not part of me. And so I think by just saying, you might, you know, find yourself more comfortable taking it in stages and saying, I open myself up to, you know, the next level of the unknown that I can accept at this moment. That might be a safer way for you to feel it. It might be a way to say, look, don't give me too much unknown, just give me a little bit. And that's okay. Yeah. But the truth is, that's all you're going to allow in anyway. I open myself to receive it, so... anything, so if you're not ready to receive it, you won't. You'll filter it out. And if you are, then you are ready for it, even though it seems scary and seemed a lot.
I accept myself to be fear, because
I think you could very well give a command and say, I open myself to, you know, to embrace all my fears. That would be a very positive way of approaching it also. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that would be a good command. And that would, I think, give you a lot of power very quickly. But, you know, that's focusing just as a therapeutic mode, just working on your fears, just on that side. Where you just open yourself to receive everything. You might also receive a power dream. You might get communication with, you know, an immortal or somebody else, a teacher coming in, you know. So it's just good to see, you know, really what you're asking for and what it brings up for you. Because, as I said, the dream practice is a one way of mirroring where your boundaries and limitations are. What's the edge of your envelope, and you know, how do you push that one a little bit further? Others?
I was thinking when you're saying that, because it could be different every time. It's not going to be like you achieve this step the first time and this step and this step. It's not a completely different progressive thing. Whatever happens, happens.
The structuring of the commands is just to give your mind some comfort with the process that, okay, I might be able to go through stages of this thing, and right now I'll just work on this. Like, the simplest command is just, I want to wake up refreshed, so that you feel like it's responded to you. You ask for this, and you can't. The second simplest is, like, I want to wake up at a certain time. Then you're now developing a dialogue. That's all it is. There's this other part of you that you don't know very well. How does it function? What does it respond to? How do I get, you know, this part trapped in the daylight consciousness to start talking to it? So once you start to get comfortable, then you go, okay, great, I've shook hands now. Now I'd like to have a little deeper conversation with you. What else can you show me about me that I can't see from here? And I have a feeling you're really smart and you can see a lot of things, but I don't really know exactly what that is, and, you know, I'm open now. So we're just using these commands as a way to basically engage, to talk to the other part of ourself. Remember, it's just a wave. Night and day, yin and yang, the earth spinning around is one earth, just going through phases. There's not two different earths, okay? I mean, there might be many earths, but we're looking just at one of them right now, okay? Another command which we'll do, which the next progression in these commands, okay, is I want to wake up in my dream. Okay, so now you're going to start talking to the phase of yourself that's actually in the dream state. You're in REM, okay?
You mean inside of the dream?
Yes,
You wake up inside the dream.
When we were doing the Qigong and we were clearing out before we did this last session, I found at the end, especially that last one, I almost felt as though I started to drop into a different state anyway. And so I didn't know if that's something that we should, that I should do to sort of be most receptive state when I lie down.
Yes. If you can go into the Qigong state before you go into dream practice, that's half, maybe three quarters of the work already. You already started to shift into your energy body. The Qigong state just means there's a flow. You've now shifted from looking at the world as separate objects, okay, into seeing the world as flowing energy. It can still have form, you can still be aware of the physical realm, but you're now experiencing it as flowing energy. And that connects you to it. And now there's less sense of separation, and now you're just going to go, oh, I'm going to talk about this, check out the flowing energy between the astral body. I mean, you're already halfway, you're in the astral body, but now you're going to go into the night side of the astral body, the inside of it, and you just communicate with that part and flow back and forth with that. So, yes, that's why I say dream practice really should just be part of all your other practices. It's just a phase. You're going through all these phases anyway. And it's your way to communicate in that phase. And the more that you're in that state of chi flow, the easier the practice, the dream, and the more successful you'll be with the dream practice. Again, the main cause of failure in dream practice is lack of chi. If you feel deprived, you feel exhausted, you feel out of balance, you're just going to go unconscious to get that balance because that's more efficient. And then you're coming in with some out of balance agenda and trying to force it on your night, your dream body. And the dream body's just going to go, you know what? You're way out of whack, and I know how to do this better than you. Shut up, go to sleep, and I'll charge you up in the morning, and you can start over again. That's essentially what happens. What sleep is? The goal is let the body sleep, let that be recharging, and you redefine the mind. So you discover, you awaken other levels of your mind. So they become, you become conscious that they're there. So when I say the mind stays awake, and the body sleeps. The question is, what aspect of the mind stays awake? And this is the question I'm hearing from you, in one sense. What aspect of the mind is staying awake? What I'm saying is it's not the unintegrated daytime aspect. It's actually the daytime aspect, which is now the ego fragments, which are now integrating, therefore able to stay conscious continuously. So let me just give an example. My greatest success with this practice has come from in periods when I was doing a lot of meditation. I did not have a lot of outside stress or distraction. And I was able to lay down, put the body to sleep, watch my one aspect of my mind begin dreaming, go completely into dreams, and stay completely conscious and feeling and seeing that that part of my mind needed to dream, wanted to process some things, but never lost continuity all the way through, and then watching it go into deep delta, which means now the dreams have stopped, and now there's no other content, but there's still a feeling of the same presence that watched all the other phases. And so that was a very integrative experience to see. And other phases that have been very useful for me have been within the dream. And usually this is, I think this is probably a more typical progression, is to see different levels of yourself integrate within the dream phase. I mentioned before that usually in dreams, people see just fragments of themselves. They see an arm or a leg, and they don't see themselves. And that's because they're just watching this data flow go past, and they're seeing bits of themselves. And there's kind of, they're not quite connected to the part of their mind that's actually receiving the data stream. They're watching it from the fragments here rather than from the aspect of the subtle bodies are actually calling for that information, trying to integrate it back in. The subtle bodies don't like being separated and out of communication with the physical body. They're always seeking ways to communicate with us, the part of us here in the physical plane. So this is a two-way thing that's happening. Subtle bodies are not happy with the degree of separation and lack of communication that's going on. You know, it leads to alienation, and it leads to all kinds of problems where information and essences are lost. They're disconnected from the subtle body. And then it has to reincarnate and go on a fishing expedition and try and retrieve it. This is the purpose of reincarnation, is to recover the lost essence that's got stuck in the physical plane. There was not always reincarnation. It's a process that started at one point when there is material lost here, when the density and the separation became so great that it was necessary to start this cycling back and forth. At some point, which is described, in, you know, there was a continuity and connection. And the beings could clone themselves, duplicate themselves, and shift between planes and come into kind of an ethereal physical plane. It wasn't quite as dense and it wasn't so separated. But when it became dense enough and became, and then the aspects that were here didn't want to leave it and became attached, and then it became a problem. There wasn't a flow and a connection. So separation is the main issue on the planet. Sense of separation. And so we're just now all working on that, on some way or another, dealing with some aspect of that problem. And there are many people who are approaching it, religions and different schools are approaching it from very different angles. The Taoist approach, the internal alchemical approach, particular aspect of the Taoism that I'm teaching from, is interested in integrating the deepest levels of physicality with the highest levels of the spirit body. And so they're very interested in the body and respecting and gathering the essence of the body and not looking at it as just a kind of a quick rental that you got real cheap and you're going to toss it in a few years because you milked it and then you jump out of it. So, I don't know, did that answer whoever asked that question? There's no body. You can't.
No body.
You're not seeing any sensory. There's no sensory information, but there's an awareness that there's a body. There's awareness of the subtle bodies, but you're not functioning in it because the body's asleep. There's not doing anything. I started to talk. I don't know. I started to talk. I trained about the stages in dream development. And you start with fragments. I see just your hands, your arms doing something, and then as you develop, you will actually see your entire body, your entire being. In the dream. And this is very rare. This requires development. This is not a normal dream state. Even in lucid dreams, you're usually not seeing yourself. You're seeing what your experience is. You see your experience. You're unconscious of what you are because you're in the dream character witnessing the dream state. But to witness yourself, you have to be in the next plane. You have to be in the next dimension watching the entire dream. Watching it from another level in order to see yourself in it also completely. Otherwise, you're in that level and experiencing it and having a partial, you know, being projected out into the plane around you. And you're having that experience of that plane, not witnessing it from, we'll say, a deeper level of the core.
But when you say, when you want to get into seeing yourself, you see yourself there, then you're still watching. You're not seeing yourself, right?
I didn't follow that.
Okay. When you say in delta, you are aware, right? If nothing there, but you are aware that you are there, right?
Yeah, you're aware of your presence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you start saying that, you at the beginning you start seeing part of yourself, means you are still watching, you are not seeing yourself.
You're not in delta when you're in a dream state like that.
When you see yourself, where are you? You're inside or you're watching yourself?
You're just shifting to your spirit body. Spirit doesn't have a body, literally, a physical body. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have all the energy patterns. It has it's a field that moves the life force in order to manifest something. And moves the subtle bodies.
And then you're experiencing?
It causes them to move. It's the causal. That's why I say when you get to the causal plane, you're starting to get the edge, the nearest functions of the spirit body here.
You know, once I had an experience, I don't know if it was related to this. Long time ago, I was taking therapy with drugs.
Therapy with?
With drugs, with LSD.
Yeah.
And I was very confused, right? But once, I remember only once, I had an awareness. I start feeling very unique, like the energy coming from one leg, like, but it was just seconds that then it's like, I think I feel life, but then it disappeared because I was not ready to feel it. And then my next word was said, I'm alive. And I hear my voice that was not this voice, was coming very, I'm alive, but then I think I got a scare or something. Then I say, I'm a lot. I start to go like, shh. Is that the feeling?
Of what?
Of that cord that goes from here and you get there?
No.
No.
No. Drug experiences generally amplify.
Okay.
They don't usually take you into other dimensions other than the low astral. Most of them are in the low astral. Occasionally people have high astral experiences on drugs. I can't say what all their experiences are, but just I've experimented with this, and I've worked with a lot of people as clients who have been processing drug experiences or been working with LSD or other things. So I have some familiarity with them. And I don't use them anymore myself because I actually, other than using them as a kind of becoming aware of the fact there's more than the physical plane and that there's other things. I think they're kind of useful as openers, but they spend a lot of your chi. They burn a lot of it up very quickly. So they can deplete particularly your jing, your kidney jing, your essence. And secondly, they create an illusion which you haven't learned how to sustain. They can connect you with your energy body, and particularly the lower astral, and this is where you get all the hallucinations. That's really like the dream plane. And you're just watching it, and it's opened the gates there, and you're starting to see the dream plane, and it amplifies things, and you may be in a very pleasurable part of it. But it's basically just amplifying that experience, which is there all the time anyway, but you're not learning how to stay there. And so the drug wears off, and then it's over.
Yeah, I know I'm aware of that.
Right. But I know a lot of people, actually, who are trying to recreate drug experiences. And meditation or whatever, they think they had this very high experience, a valid high experience, okay? But now they're trying to actually get back to a past drug experience, you know, in which they met God or, you know, something, rather than getting to the present moment where they are now, and which is the real God experience. I used to say, one of my... After I experimented around with you know, drugs for a while, then I adopted a new motto. And that motto was, I don't need drugs. I am drugs. Because it's true, actually. And if you study, I did one of my papers on, I studied all the papers in Scientific American on LSD. And really what's happening is it's just a catalyst for the drugs that you have inside you. Okay? It just activates your own other processes in there. And it's not actually the drug doing anything. It's just your own chemicals and your own energy field that's interacting with the chemical field. But you really need to learn to make a distinction between your chemical body and your energy body. They're not the same thing. And this is the problem with some of the dream research, you know, making final conclusions from it. You can see all kinds of patterns in the chemical changes in the brain and in the body. And that's very useful and interesting, but it's not the same thing as understanding what the energy body is doing. Okay. Anybody else? We're getting almost ready for lunch here. It's 1:10. Does anybody have anything they feel is important for them to speak before we go to lunch? Okay. So we're stopping. We're getting to be habitual here. It's finished at 1:10 yesterday also. So we'll start again. Actually start, try and get back here in about an hour, and we'll actually start at 2:30 prompt. Okay? The dream dress is just another cue. It's really another form of a dream command, you could say. When you're signaling that you're intending to do the dream practice, and you're putting on a special outfit or special uniform, that has the vibrations of when you have that intention, and maybe even have the vibrations of successful dream practice other times. And the times when you're just exhausted, you just want to go to bed, and you're not thinking you're going to do it, then you don't put it on. And you could put on different things on that dream dress and have different dream outfits. I just want to show you some of the things that I use. I wore one shirt yesterday, which had the five elements, which is for balance and health. And so when I put this on, it's got a symbol of the creation cycle, of the flow of chi, of the different organs and the five elements. And so it's a signal to me. And they each have the color coded and everything. It says, okay, I'm wearing this. I get the vibration of this thing. So I'm going to be doing some type of dream practice maybe. It'll be really good for health. Okay, and it just kind of is an imprint onto your astral mind, your unconscious mind. They can see this also. Oh, this is you're signaling to it in another way, and you're really just signaling to yourself. Well, basically, it has a vibration. Okay, everything has vibration to it. Okay, your dream command has vibration and it has intent. Okay, and you know the clothes you choose, the colors, everything is an expression of your intent. So what you're really doing here in the beginning is, well, let me just get as much of my energy together as possible. And the more chi you invest in it, then, and if you're wearing that uniform, it reminds you of it, your dress, your dream dress, well, then it's just like one other factor, and you're almost like making it a sort of a ceremony, or it makes it kind of fun. So, yes, yeah, the principle of resonance. And when I want to do a lot of star practice and work with the, you know, things off the planet, I put this on. This isn't designed as a handmade t-shirt by this woman who channeled these different star patterns. And she channeled these and she says, oh, these are the ones I get for you. So I said, fine, I'll make that. I know what I'm going to use it for. So I put that one on. I feel like, oh, I really want to work with that. It's okay. Sometimes I'll just put on basic all-purpose bagua. Okay. Faded, you can see he's been through a lot of dream practice. It's just, you know, symbol of balance, and you can use it as yin, energy coming into the center of the bagua, or yang, expressing out. You can, you know, it's multifaceted, and to me it just indicates, you know, balance and, you know, dynamic balance. So could do just about anything with that. It says, anybody who wears this shirt while dreaming will get enlightened. Now, sometimes I have noticed I need a dark color. Okay? When I'm working on more kidney issues, and or in the winter, and I want to, I don't want to have a bright yang color on. Okay? And so I put on the deep purple. This is mystic purple, those of you who didn't know. And this is actually started off as a joke. One of my students, and actually a member who comes to this dome here, was in the t-shirt business, says, well, he makes all these, you know, what would Jesus do? T-shirts, and started talking about, well, what would Lao Tzu do? And suddenly we realized that we needed to have our own response to Jesus out there and let him know that it was, what would Lao Tzu do? And of course, you know, the answer is on the back there, so. But I wear it when I want a more yin color, dark color, because sometimes, you know, that's about going in and absorbing energy and the kidneys in the winter, you know, and so I got this, my black, or dark blue silk pajamas, as I figure when I want to do night practice and I want the yin energy more. I just really focus on that. And then sometimes I wear things that, you know, just got dragons on them, like this one. This is a new one, so I haven't had done any dream practice with this yet, but this one I've actually decided to duplicate because it's so timely. The year 2000 is the year of the dragon. So this is a nice shirt. Also, I guess you got in China, and I'm going to make some copies up of this. Right. They don't honor any of our patent laws. And actually, I would be happy to order it. It's cheaper, actually, just to order, buy them in China than it is to make them here. But then I got to go to customs and ship this and that, and it's like, it's just too hard. So I'm doing a very small run for a select crowd. So, well, I run at the in New York, where I run the Healing Tao University in the summer. I have a bookstore where we sell various Taoist books and paraphernalia, Chinese music, and, you know, these kinds of things. If you are interested, now we shift to a commercial. No, now it's now officially shifting to a commercial. In order for your dream practice to be successful, you must buy what, Model A? Model B or Model C? No. You can use anything that has meaning or color, anything you want to use. If you are interested in these, and I only have one here for sale, so this is not a big commercial. One extra one I'm not using, which is a ladies model neck, medium size. That is the only one I have here for sale. If you want, I will take orders. I have others of these at Big Indian on this, or What Would Lao Tzu Do, or the Year of the Dragon, Dragon. So you can approach me after the workshop. On this one? You just wash it in hot water shrinks. It's pretty small. She had a bit of it, but she needed a large. She was a big girl, though. This is actually one dragon, and part of his body goes behind a cloud.
Oh, I got it.
And it comes down.
Is that for sale?
No, but the person wearing it is. So, if somebody is interested in this, sure, just let me know. Oh, we'll discuss that later. They're 18. It's $18. Okay. We'll put it over there near you then. You can look at it. You can dream about it. Just lay it next to you when you're dreaming the next time and see if it does anything for you. Okay. So that's a small thing. It's not essential, but I've actually found it's kind of, you know, we have so much of our ego invested in who we are and our appearance and the clothes we wear, who we are. So if you shift and say, okay, well, I'll use that energy of investment in clothing and use it for your dream practice, that it kind of is a way of making a statement to your ego. Okay. So I just think, you know, the more you have going for you, the better. So, I mean, you could just get an old white t-shirt and just write on it, dream, or something. You know? Or wake up in my dream, you know, or something. You put your dream, put your favorite dream command on a t-shirt and a magic marker, you know? Okay. So, we're going to get in more into dreams this afternoon. Talk about lucid dreams and what's that all about. And what is lucidity? And, maybe before I do that, I'll just pass. Okay. This is
This is the dream power of luck. No. There's actually a reason why he looks this way. This is, we're looking at this picture of Chen Tuan here. And he's basically grown into be, looks like part of this tree. He's very well rooted, as you can see. He's shape-shifting into the uncarved block. And actually this is something that some of these Chinese artists do sometimes, is they will put the symbols. You see the Bagua symbol there to his, just to the right of him? And it's got the circle, the Tai Chi circle in the middle, and then the kind of square outer edges. Well, if you look at his body, you see it's almost shaped like a square, like the earth, like a Chinese coin, and his belly is like a circle. Okay? So there's an unconscious artistic message in there, which is the square of the body and then the circle of his chi and his dantian. Okay? And the haircut, and he's got the top knot. I mean, that is, you know, the style, I guess.
Why do they always have such big
hair? Well, actually, the Taoists in general don't. A lot of yogis do. Okay, I've noticed. Well, he's drawn this way. But usually you don't see the pictures of the Taoist immortals in China. They don't have big bellies. Okay? This is probably drawn by somebody who was inspired by these other Laughing Buddha, you know, models, and decided to do Chen Tuan in that mode. Okay? But most of the Taoists are not shown with big bellies because they don't do a lot of pranayama. They don't just use raw physical qi. Which, if you build up a big prana belly, is a big raw pot of chi, of physical chi. So if you're doing the internal Taoist practices, you're finding that and cooking it down into a small pearl. And you don't need a big belly to hold it. Okay? So it's really much better suited for the modern person. Okay? You can just say you're only... Just tell them you've got a big vat of raw chi that you're still in the process of, you know, extra storage, you know, before you send it to the refinery. Okay? By the way, this is all involved with the bell channel. You get into that in the fusion practice. The core channel is involved with absorbing energy, and the bell channel is involved with, you know, releasing it. So as you get older and you haven't refined it, well, then it gets released. It's out there. Okay? That's why if you just work up in your head, you're not gonna refine that stuff down there. Now on the back side, there are these drawings which are quite well known in China, which are from Chen Tuan's Qigong, and he devised a whole series of mostly sitting Qigong, because he was in the dream state and he would get up and, you know, just without getting up, he would just do a little Qigong in the sitting position. Now, I actually studied with a teacher in Xi'an, right near the base of Huashan, who had studied with an old monk from Huashan. This is a younger guy, but he studied with us, and he showed me Chen Tuan's entire Qigong form, which is all this and much more. I decided not to teach that during this workshop because it's like it would be a whole workshop, and then you wouldn't get to the dream stuff. I mean, it's kind of nice to do Chen Tuan's, you know, Qigong, but... I'm just letting you know that it exists. Maybe I'll teach it sometime. It's pretty nice. But, you know, there's so many Qigong forms, and they're all nice. You've got to pick and choose. But I'm just letting you know what's on the back of this, what that is.